Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
From U.S. Truck Accessories in Conway and Searcy, your number one Central Arkansas source for camper shells, bed covers, spray-in bed liners, and more. Veteran-owned since 2002. Online at ustruckaccessories.net.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee.
Welcome back to Morning Mayhem, live from the Oaklawn Hot Springs Studios.
Fool me once. Shame on you.
Here are David Basil, Roger Scott, and Justin Moore.
It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Welcome back to Morning Mayhem. Christian Weaver here filling in as host for Roger Scott and David Basil. My co-hosts are one Justin Moore over in Poen, Arkansas.
Yo.
Trey Reed from the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. And Pigskin Preacher from the Pinnacle Church of Christ. So Caleb Bagby is filling in as the part-time producer for me. And I got him cutting some interviews for me right now.
Nice.
He's learning on the front. Burning on the fly.
Man.
So
I just feel like we need something like this right now. Bagby.
Bagby.
Wow.
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 Mark the tape.
Bagby.
Mark the tape.
Sorry, go ahead.
There was a cat in the major leagues, Justin, named Jim Bagby Jr. He was a pitcher back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, he was pretty good, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, I know.
What era?
Oh, good grief. I want to say 40s or 50s or something. Long time ago. It was.
Hey, just because I'm a baseball nerd, you mentioned baseball. Who's the best player you ever saw, in your opinion?
At his peak.
In your life.
Okay. Time. At his peak, the best hitter I've ever seen was Miguel Cabrera. He had power to all fields.
When he was young,
he could hit for average. He could hit for power.
Well, he won the Triple Crown, did he?
He won the Triple Crown once. He would have won the Triple Crown back-to-back, but that dude for Baltimore that was roiding out of his head.
Ryan.
Oh, good grief. Who is it? The guy that won the homer thing, yes. He won the home run thing by a couple over.
He was
over
the first. Chris Davis.
Chris Davis cheated his brains out and got the home run title.
Did he go to the Rangers as well?
Maybe at the end
of
his career.
Is that the same guy? I may be thinking of somebody else.
He fell off.
But Cabrera won the Triple Crown the first year. The next year, he won the average and the RBIs, but he missed out on the homers to a dude that was cheating. So, yeah, Cabrera was the best hitter I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take. I knew you would have one.
Who do you think the best hitter you ever saw was, Justin?
Best hitter? Bonds in his prime, probably. I know the Astros, however you say that word.
He still hit the ball. I mean, and the thing that amazed me about him, he was fearless. He would stand in there against dudes coming inside, busting him inside. He wouldn't give an inch to left-handers, and he wouldn't swing at bad pitches. Whoever walks 190 times a year? I don't think that those numbers.
Well, he had incredible plate discipline.
He was a great, great disciplinarian at the plate. He really was great player.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
He would have been in the Hall of Fame before he started taking roids. Yeah. He'd won two MVPs and was tremendous before, but he got sick of Sosa and McGuire being feted everywhere. And oh, they're great. Look at this. And he's like, well, I can do that too. And then he started using the cream and the clear, and his head tripled in size, and then he doubled in home runs. And, it's all water under the bridge. But yeah, you're gonna have to let all of those guys in eventually.
I think you have to.
They will all get in.
I forget who I asked, but it may have been Rick Schaefer. I was like, don't you think there's already somebody in the Hall of Fame that probably cheated?
Yeah, Big Poppy.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's probably a lot of people that used, and we just never learned about it.
Yeah.
These were just the most
And there were other, besides steroids.
Well, people were taking greenies.
They were taking
drugs,
greenies.
Like back in the day.
Yeah, greenies, exactly. Okay. They were giving them out in dishes in there. And I mean, if you want to be technical about it, you could say coffee. I'm using a performance-enhancing drug right now. Without coffee, I would be at home asleep. Probably.
That is true.
Yeah. You'd be me.
I'd be you. That's right. Christian's drinking this stuff, Justin, called Full Throttle. And we don't know what it is, but we're
energy drink.
Yeah, yeah, we're probably sure, slowly killing. We're me, pretty sure it's poisonous.
It probably is.
And but he's awake, so it's he's
I'm
on
here.
He's on performance enhancing drugs too.
I also have Dayquil in my system. I don't know if that's a performance.
Oh goodness!
Thing. I don't think Dayquil does much, but NyQuil sure does.
NyQuil does.
It helps you sleep.
Yeah,
I don't think it makes you well. It just helps you sleep.
I've been playing sick all week. My daughter was sick last week, and I got sick. So I'm thankful for everybody that's helping me out. I appreciate it.
Well, how's your daughter, Christian?
Yes.
My daughter will be a year old here in about 2 weeks.
Nice. So you got 5-1.
5-1.
Is that right? Nice.
My son will be 6 in December.
He sent a picture to me of the kiddos last week, Justin. A more beautiful twosome you have not seen. What a couple of
nice, I'm sure.
Ones. Yeah. They got some wonderful kids in the Weaver domicile. They do.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can go ahead and get his name. Somebody had called in, and there's another person calling. But I just put him on hold. We'll take your calls in just a moment. But for those that don't know, my wife is black. So they have nice hair.
Mm-hmm.
They have kind of a mixture of our hair types. So my son has a nice head of hair, I think.
I was wondering if anybody had your locks.
Not quite.
He got some hair. Different. The boy's got some hair, man.
Some texters said Tony Gwynn, hands down, talking about best hitter. I think best for average.
Yeah.
Gwynn was amazing.
Hard to argue that.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I almost consider him like the Maddox of hitting.
He did.
Greg Maddox of hitting.
The thing that was so great about him, he never struck out. He had enough strikeouts. He could have played back when Ty Cobb and those guys were playing.
Right.
He was going to put the bat on the ball and make contact. He was great at that.
Does he have the is he the career average leader?
No,
or am I wrong?
Close. He's like
really?
He's like 337 or something.
Oh wow.
I mean Cobb's 367. I don't think that's ever going to be, but Gwynn faced better pitching than Cobb faced, obviously.
Fonz had to have had a pretty high average too. I would think later on.
Probably 300, wasn't he?
He may have the highest on base percentage ever.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's weird right now, Justin. There are dudes hitting 280 that are like in the top 10 of the league in hitting. You know,
it's all about hitting the bomb.
The average is just all
exactly.
They want to do is hit home runs. They don't care if they strike out or get on base. Or it's just home runs, home runs, home runs.
Go ahead. I was going to say, a lot of it is just get on base, and they don't care how you do it necessarily. So either take.
Yeah, I was reading. You talk about the home run deal, strikeout home run deal. I was reading up on some notes from DVH's presser yesterday, and there's a. I don't remember if he's a transfer or if he's a younger kid. I think a transfer, if I'm not mistaken. But a kid named Ivasco, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
DVH said as much in his presser yesterday that he's like, I want him to be between 15 and 20 homers, even if his average goes down. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole different way of looking at it now.
Totally different approach.
The analytics and all that.
One of the best examples was Andrew Benintendi years ago. Mm-hmm. He would bat 310, but they're all singles.
Right.
It's like,
right.
You're not
getting any punch.
Yeah.
So the Tigers have been putting this bum in center field that we got from the waiver wire from Minnesota. This is his last name. This is how it's spelled. Outman.
Outman.
He was hitting 154. I said, you can't be named Outman hitting 154. Okay?
I think that might have taken up a different sport.
I'm like, Outman, how about go get the next guy called Hitman, and maybe he'll be hitting 200. I don't know.
Or pitching.
Thank you. Yeah, Outman. If he's pitching, that'd be a good name for a pitcher. Bad name for a hitter, especially when one can't hit.
This texture, yeah, I knew this, but Ted Williams averaged 406 for the 1941 season.
That's
which I mean,
that's
he's just probably ridiculous. The greatest hitter that ever lived.
Hey, all in all, you said the greatest. Justin said the greatest hitter I ever saw. That'd be
you're right. Yeah.
I mean, Williams retired before I was born
because he. But
by
power
consensus,
and
Ted Williams is the best hitter that's ever played the sport. Yeah. I would agree with that. From
and he had several years of his career taken by the Warriors.
He lost 5 years from his prime productive years for serving.
He's still incredible.
Yeah.
We're taking some calls right now. Caller number... Oh, you're not there anymore. Jackie, what you got, man?
Excuse me. I've seen Nolan Ryan pitch in 88 in the Astrodome against the Mets, and David Cone was the starter. You know, Dave, Strawberry was on that team, and Dwight Gooden. But Nolan Ryan got his 100th win in the... whatever league that was in, I can't remember, National American, whichever. But anyway, he got his 100th other win, in that, back when I was, I think I was probably 18 or 19.
I got a good I got a good Ryan story for
Appreciate the call, Jackie.
When I was a kid, I think it was his first no-hitter in 1973 against Detroit, and he was closing it out in the ninth inning. The Detroit first baseman, Norm Cash, very colorful Texan, came up and he was holding the leg of a piano. I guess there was a piano in the clubhouse. He pulled one of the legs off of it and was walked up to home plate holding a piano leg. And the catcher was laughing and the umpire was laughing. Ryan was kind of laughing. And the ump looked at him and said, boy, he said, go back to the dugout and get a bat. You can't come up here and hit with that. He said, what's the difference? I'm not going to hit him anyway. And he struck him out, and Ryan had a no-hitter. So, yeah, he was pretty unhittable back then.
Yeah. On the show today, this is what you got today, because Joe Nichols is off today. He can't do this week. I guess he's busy making country music or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that was stopping him from being on the radio. But it didn't stop Justin Moore coming on today.
That's why one
not today.
Has 14 number one hits and the other one, doesn't.
Joe's got a new song out.
Yeah, he does.
You probably heard it on
I did
station.
Hear that. You guys play that a lot.
Yeah,
that's
they do.
That's good.
Justin, we got anything in the works for you? New music coming down the
Music, yeah, I'll have a new single out. I'm just trying to pick it, to be honest with you. Probably in the next month or two.
Yeah, when you
like
make
that.
So much good songs, it's hard to pick.
So I have a musical question.
That,
since we have a professional here, Justin, you got to help me out with this. How do artists generally decide what should be a single and what shouldn't be a single? Is there any kind of rhyme or reason?
Well,
or is it a gut feeling or what is it exactly?
Do you feel it down in your plums?
Down in my plums. Pigskin has changed over the years. You know, early in my career, radio was king. Mm-hmm. We didn't have, social media and streaming and those kind of things. We still sold CDs, mm-hmm. And so you were picking a single solely based on what you thought radio would play, and you kind of look at the climate out there. I mean, are there a lot of ballads, or are there a lot of mid-tempos or so on and so forth, and you try to pick one. And then obviously, you don't typically send a 6-minute song to radio and all that, but nowadays you have to also take into account, hey, do we think this is a hit on the radio, whether it be catchy or whatever, good idea, but also, do we think it's going to stream? Because that's the way record labels make their money back now, that we don't sell CDs or albums or in whatever capacity you consume your music, even on your phone now, some people still get the whole album, and a lot of people just pick songs. You know what I mean?
So I'm watching a documentary the other night.
Did that answer your question?
That's a great answer. I was watching a documentary on Led Zeppelin, and they were interviewing Jimmy Page, and he said, "We're an album band." He said they didn't release any singles for any of them, and they had a ton of songs that would have crushed. But he said, "We're an album band. We want you to buy the albums and listen to the albums."
And I think that most artists are like that. I would say at least up until my generation, at least. I don't know. Christian maybe could speak to.
I think a lot of younger people in general have now moved towards the single thing where they like songs from artists, but they don't necessarily go and listen to their albums.
That's
whereas on side B or anything.
That's how you should listen to the music. You should listen to the music within the concept of the album.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So
yeah, I agree.
I will go out if I like a song from somebody. I will listen to their album and be like, "Oh, that was nice. It flowed really nicely."
Justin, I want to go back to your answer to Pigskin there and ask, like, what are the differences, like maybe in taste of the streaming audience and the radio audience? Because I'm sitting there thinking, well, isn't a great song a great song? I mean, like, what? How does like the record companies or well. That's probably a bad thing to call them a record company anymore.
Spotify or Apple or whoever.
Have they tried to
get
you to make a TikTok song?
Right.
Oh gosh. Fortunately, they've not asked me that yet. I don't know. But Trey, to your question, if we knew, we'd all be better off. But you know, streaming wise, you can be a little more brazen, a little more bold. I guess you would put it.
When you talked about length, I mean, you know, like you don't have to worry about the confines of a shorter song for a radio.
Right. Yeah. It's stuff like that, or you know, like years and years and years ago on our first album, we had a song called "I Could Kick Your Ass." You know, you wouldn't send that to radio, but you kind of pump it on socials and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's just one example.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
That played on the radio, though, didn't it?
No, it didn't. No, we never sent that out
maybe
as a single. Possibly.
It played
possibly.
On the buzz because I know the song. I've heard it a few times. I remember Rogers played it, so...
Yeah, this is a special
Rogers'
radio
philosophy
station.
Of life, Justin. That song encapsulates why Roger Scott is alive.
Yeah. I'll give you a true story, and I've said this on stage a number of times. My grandma came to a show. We played in Little Rock. I don't remember where or when. A long, long time ago. God rest her soul. And she goes, "Son, come here." I go, "Yes, ma'am." And she goes, "I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell nobody. I'm talking about ever." She goes, "That's my favorite song you've ever written." I said, "Nanny, like ever? Like your favorite?" She goes, "Yeah, but if you tell anybody, I'll kill you." And I'm like, okay, of course that's too good not to tell. So fast forward a year or two, whatever, we're playing Little Rock again, and she's there. And I have to tell the story on stage, so I do. She after the show, she's like, "Come here, son." She goes, "What did I tell you?" I go, "I don't know. What did you tell me?" She's like, "I told you not to tell anybody about that." And I go, "Nanny, that was too good." She goes, "Son, I go to church with a lot of people out there." And I'm like, "Well, you said it, not me." So that's the stock that I come from. It's too funny.
Oh, that's great.
We got some feedback on our Middleton Heat and Air text line. Let's see. New musicians don't do albums anymore. They stopped that around 2000s. Yeah, they do. Everybody still does.
Yeah,
albums.
They do.
Everybody
they
does.
Do. Everybody kind of does. You know, with the
you may have
the way that people
first album.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but with the influx of the way the not the influx with the way that people now consume music differently. Yeah. It's changed and people, artists and record labels are still trying to figure out what the best approach is as far as do you just do single after single or do you, do albums? And again, most artists still want to do albums, Well, you know,
in some sense, Justin,
from an art perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say, from their thematically organized songs and material. They may not all sound the same, but like they're all coming from like a same part of your life or your
Especially in others, you know? Not necessarily. I don't know if I've ever heard a country concept album except for like Marty Robbins' Ballads and Gunfighters.
So I went over to Fort Worth a couple weeks ago, pulled an all-nighter to see one of my favorite bands, Rush, the Canadian power trio.
It's Geddy Lee's birthday today, by the way.
So very good. Geddy is one of my favorites. So they played the first half of the show, did an intermission, you know, did kind of some greatest hits. The second half of the show was in order, in its entirety, their album Moving Pictures.
Yes.
Their masterpiece.
I thought you were going to say 2112.
They played the whole album. They did start the show with Xanadu.
See, that would be...
But so albums still matter, but especially among those of us that are older.
I agree.
I was going
to most people put. I'm sorry, Christian.
No,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say earlier part of the conversation as far as how you pick songs and you know those types of things. I totally just had a brain fart. Completely forgot what I was talking about. What did y'all say before?
That's what this show does to you. As an artist, you hear that like, oh, that's a single. That's a single.
There was a great line from Petty into
The Great Wide Open. He said, the A&R man said, I don't hear a single.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd read Mike Campbell's book about the Heartbreakers. He said, on that album that the A&R people said there's no single, there were four that they're still singing at football stadiums as anthems today. So it's like, well, maybe the A&R guy didn't know a single from a hole in the ground. It could have been.
Well, you know, it's all an educated guess, somewhat educated guess. I mean, you don't know. I mean, there are a handful of songs out there, probably from each artist, where you go, yeah, that's a hit record. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But those are few and far between. Like I've had songs that I thought were going to be huge that weren't, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everybody's got those stories. You know what I mean?
Justin, it's the same thing in preaching. I'm like, this sermon's going to kill.
It's going to kill.
And everybody's falling asleep. And then I got one, I'm like, this isn't even any good. And people are up there weeping.
That's true, because you do basically the same thing I do, just in a different capacity.
Articles I've written, podcasts I've put out, the ones I think are going to be the greatest are the ones nobody pays attention to.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, for me, like with this, relating it to this show, I just come in with low expectations daily.
We rarely even meet them.
That way you're not disappointed.
You know, I set the bar low, and if we exceed it, great.
You just described my 41-year-old marriage. That's what my wife says.
Oh, me.
Playing Into the Great Wide Open, Into the Break. The future was wide open to finish your lyric. You're listening to Morning Mayhem with Christian here, myself, Trey Reed, Pigskin Preacher, Justin Moore. We're talking about anything and everything. It's a summer show.
Give us
next segment.
I want to give it back to the people. Call in.
Hey, yeah, next segment. I'm not going to talk over you, Christian. You just.
Oh, it's all good. I'm talking over you too.
You're much more important and intelligent than I am.
It wouldn't sound like the normal show if you don't.
That's true. I'm trying to dumb it down.
I don't know if anybody believes that, Justin, but I appreciate it. This summer, celebrating the Morning Mayhem Summer of Adventure, presented by Oaklawn Hot Springs. Keep it on the buzz to find out where they're heading next.
This is SportsCenter.
Yesterday, a few schools announced jersey sponsor deals in college athletics. Ohio State was first up, as they'll be sponsored by Chase Bank, and it'll be worth $17 million a year. The Chase logo will be on all Ohio State athletics jerseys. Then Notre Dame announced they had added SoFi as a jersey sponsor on a six-year deal worth $18 to $20 million a year. Previously, the Big 12 had made a deal as an entire conference with Monster Energy. For $20 million a year, every Big 12 team will feature a Monster Energy logo. And reportedly, Arkansas basketball has added their last major non-conference conference game in Virginia. It'll be a neutral site game in Washington, D.C. in early November. Arkansas and Virginia have played seven times, with the Cavaliers leading the series all-time 4-3, their last meeting coming in 1998. I'm Christian Weaver with the Buzz Radio Network.
Fletcher Dodge wants to buy your car. We'll buy any make or model, and we'll pay you more than anyone else. Please, turn your old car into cash at Fletcher Dodge in Sherwood.
With KARK's Pat Walker.
A chance of rain today. A 40% chance of rain showers and thunderstorms as a cool front moves through. And just in time, no triple-digit temperatures today, but it still will be a hot day. A high of 95 with a heat advisory. 40% chance of rain continues tonight with some showers and thunderstorms and an overnight low of 74. For the Buzz Radio Network, I'm meteorologist Pat Walker.
Hey, Roger Scott here. A while back, I took a road trip and somehow turned a one-hour drive into 3 hours. Apparently, recalculating was just a suggestion. The good news? Finding fun is a lot easier. Just head to Oaklawn in Hot Springs. Oaklawn is Arkansas's only racing casino resort with a 24/7 smoke-free casino featuring more than 1,500 slot machines and all your favorite table games. And here's a fun fact. While most places close at some point, Oaklawn Casino is open around the clock. So whether you're an early bird or a night owl, they're ready for you. Oaklawn was also voted best casino in the 2026 Arkansas Times Readers Poll. They've got great entertainment coming up, fantastic restaurants, a beautiful resort pool, and astral spa when you need a little relaxation. So don't gamble on boring weekend plans. Make it a sure bet. Make plans, grab some friends, and head to Oaklawn. Visit Oaklawn.com and book your getaway today.
Hey, it's David Basil for my good friends at Bath Fitter. I've been working with Bath Fitter for over a decade now. They're a family-owned business that's been around for over 40 years. They are the pioneers of the acrylic bath industry. Bath Fitter offers a one-of-a-kind remodeling process that's easy and stress-free. They offer a wide selection of beautiful and functional showers, and with their seamless one-piece walls and hundreds of design options, you can refresh your shower space in no time. They can even convert your existing bath into a shower. Check them out online at bathfitterlittlerock.com and tell them Basil sent you.
This July is America's 250th birthday, y'all, and Low T Center is celebrating 250 years of freedom with a 250 for 250 deal. All month long, all the guys out there who start testosterone therapy and stay with it for 90 days, we're going to put $250 back in your pocket. Low T Center's raising the T of American patriots from sea to shining sea. Come celebrate 250 years of America with Low T Center's 250 for 250 deal, because bringing back the energy and vitality of your youth is worth celebrating. Go to fixmylowt.com right now to book a free T-test. That's fixmylowt.com.
The Zone Hotline on 103.7 The Buzz is presented by Jim's Razorback Pizza with two locations, Highway 10 past Taylor Loop and just off the Morgan Mall Mill exit.
Let's keep the good vibes going. Morning Mayhem is back on the air. Live from the Oaklawn Hot Springs Studios. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only racing casino resort.
You stumped me. Who is this?
Bobby Bland.
Bobby Bland. Okay. Very good.
If you listen to rap 25 years ago, you may recognize this as being the sample for In the Heart of the City from Jay-Z, which Kanye produced, of course. But this is the original.
Would it shock you if I told you I don't listen to much Jay-Z at all? I mean, I know about him as a mogul and all that, but
that's fine.
I found Kanye's music much better than Jay-Z's music.
I like Kanye much more. Not personally. Of course, he has a lot of issues in his personal life.
As long as you're not Jewish, you're okay, Christian.
He apologized. I don't know if that makes up for it.
Did he? Well, Hitler didn't, so, I mean...
No, he didn't. You know, he's a step above that.
Yeah.
Welcome back into Morning Mayhem. You heard the voice of Fixin' Preacher. That's Trey Reed. Caleb Bagby is in, and Justin Moore is on from Moore Mountain, as some people call it. It's not... What's the elevation of Moore Mountain, you would say, Justin?
Probably about 3 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to guess.
So where does the mountainous... description come from?
It, Basil's mind. The excesses yes. of Basil's mind. You know what that is.
I think he just went for the closest alliteration he could find.
Love it.
There you go. Because there's nothing. This is like a Poland's like a miniature New Orleans. The space, at least my spot.
Surrounded by water on three sides.
Yes, it's like a little bowl.
Nice.
How far are you from the Saline River?
Oh, a minute.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. Maybe.
Good. Is that a legitimate river?
Really close.
Oh, yeah.
You got water in
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You
could take a boat down that river?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, like growing up, I've floated it a lot. Floated it fishing, not like rapids or anything like that.
Yeah, you weren't doing any whitewater trips there?
No. But, no, it's, I mean, you go, the cool thing about fishing the river as opposed to lakes, I mean, when you go to a lake, you're fishing specifically for something, I am usually, and the river, I mean, you throw a crawdad or a beetle spin or whatever, and, I mean, you don't know what you're going to catch, that's which right. is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Going way back on our Middleton Heat and Air text line, this is from when Craig was in and we were kind of riffing on the guys. People love just riffing on the guys, by the way, making fun of Baz and Roger. They're, of course, very good at their job, but they're also very easy to make fun of, I think. But there is a method to the madness that they pull. Somebody asked, am I listening to a podcast on world history? That's when we were talking about King Leopold and the mouse and all that stuff. I think that
What do you mean you don't want to hear about the Belgian Congo?
So one of our wonderful sponsors, Ed Light of the Double B's organization, Ed said, gas it, grab it, and go. I've been listening this morning. I will be full of knowledge for the rest of the day. I thought, well, he'll be full of something. I don't know if it'd be knowledge, but
we may already be full of something.
We're doing what we can.
The bar is not incredibly high, but that may have been the most intelligent conversation that's been had on this this show in quite some time.
Listen, I'll make a book recommendation because, you know, Justin's show's been doing that forever with Eli Craner.
Eli Craner, yes.
I'm like, why are you having Eli on? Well, he's talking about books. I said, none of you read books, and nobody that listens reads books. So given that,
he's a good guest.
I'm gonna make a book recommendation, Justin. King Leopold's Ghost is a book written by Adam Hochschild. And it's an outstanding book on that little slice of history. But these dudes, they hit it big over there, and they were just horrible to the folks in the Congo. Horrible. Congo folks just wanted to live their lives and be left alone. And these guys just wanted to beat them into submission and oppress them for money, which is basically the story of the world in a nutshell.
Colonialism.
Empire.
There's been a lot of it.
Yeah, there has been. But you got anybody that reads that book would like the book. It's really good.
I need to read it. I've watched some documentaries about
the
colonialism going on over there.
So, Justin, where they made their money, this was about the time, it's like 120 years ago or so, pneumatic tires were just becoming a thing, tires that you aired up, okay? So you needed rubber. They didn't have the synthetic rubbers. And bicycles were getting big, and then cars were getting big. So these guys, they had rubber plantations down there, rubber trees, and they'd go out there and get the stuff. And it was really, it's kind of like cotton farming. It's really labor intensive. Mm-hmm. You can make a lot more money if you cut your labor costs. And if you have free labor, then you can make unlimited money. But, you know, free labor is not free, not to the people that are doing the labor.
That's right.
Yeah, anyway.
And that's basically the same gist of Manaus. They got wealthy off of rubber. Mm-hmm. And I believe the reason that it was an Englishman that stole the rubber seeds and took them back to Europe and germinated them. But they did it because Belgium had a monopoly, basically, on rubber.
Exactly. I'm reading a book now called Fordlandia. Henry Ford tried to make a city down in South America, and he was going to, you know, transfer as much of his operation as he could down there. But, you know, this just in, the jungles of South America are not necessarily receptive to cities and
not a hospitable place.
That's why
Manaus, despite being one of the wealthiest cities in the world at one time and having maybe the nicest opera house in the world, never became a tourist destination. It is in the middle of the Amazon. It's
only if you're going
to
peacock bass fishing on the Amazon or its tributaries. That's your jumping
probably
off
right now in Manaus.
Peacock bass fishing. Sorry, my brain has been tainted by this show. Of all of the intelligence bass that was just was displayed over the last 4 minutes, all I can think of is hawkshot and peacock bass fishing. Ridiculous.
That's apropos.
Another texter said, I pay $360 per week for two kids. It's difficult. We barely make it. My wife and I both have good jobs. Yeah, there were times talking about daycare. Like, my wife has a really good job. She's the
the breadwinner?
Yeah,
the
breadwinner.
She's the breadwinner of the house. I make less money than her, which is fine with me. I don't care. Some people get really upset about that their wife makes more money
than
them.
You're secure in your own masculinity.
It's like, I wish she
I would love
that. Dude, I wish she made enough awesome money to where I could be the house husband.
Exactly.
I will stay at the house all day.
I'm with you, man.
I would fish a lot more.
Yes.
So I went to college, Justin, with this guy, and there was a girl on the Oklahoma Christian basketball team in love with this guy, and he didn't like her that much. She was cute. She was good. She's really smart. So she goes on years later to get a head coaching job in college when Oklahoma brought their program back. Her name was Sherry Cole. She got to the Final Four, becomes one of college basketball's most successful coaches. Well, he was excited. I went up to him after she got her first job, and she was getting paid. This is back in the 90s. She was getting paid $81,000 a year.
Ooh,
and I looked at him. I said, you regretting turning old Sherry down? I mean, with that, he goes, man, that $81,000 would come in handy. She probably went on to make $30 million. And I'm like, well, sometimes, you know, saying no comes
chance
at a price. You missed your chance.
I mean, yeah.
That's it. So,
this texture from the 501 had what I thought is a good question. When Justin is on tour, how does he go about his set list? And is the same set list for every show? Does it change for different venues, Northerners, Southerners, day show, night show?
Great question.
Love that.
That is a good question. No. So we go in each year and put a new show together. Or a year and a half, something like that. That's what we do anyway. And, you play the same every venue, but the only time it changes is you got to have kind of like a 45 minute set together, 60, 75, and 90 minute, depending on the slot you're playing in. So if there's a big festival we're headlining, we'll play a couple hours. If if we're the support act, we'll play probably an hour or so. But no, we don't change it. You know, I in Little Rock, I may play something different, just simply because it's at the house and something like that. But typically, you play the same show every night.
This person says, best Justin Moore song, More Middle Fingers with Brantley Gilbert.
well, thank you. You sound like, is that my grandmother?
Maybe.
You beat me to the punch.
So Justin, I got to go to church with these people, boy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. But the reason you have the same set list, just to tie a bow on that, is because you have curfews at these buildings, which a lot of people, I didn't know until I did this for a living. So typically, like the arena in Little Rock, for example, typically the curfew is 11, and if you're not off stage by then, all the local hands, the union workers, you run into an extra hour, and that you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars.
And you don't want to make the Teamsters mad.
Don't make the Teamsters mad.
And if you are opening for somebody, you're costing the headliner thousands of dollars. And if it's you that's headlining, you're costing yourself thousands of dollars. So, most artists would go out there and play 3 hours a night if they could, mm-hmm. but you can't do that.
There you go.
This texter said, more marsh may be more accurate. Is it swampland over there in Poen? I don't know.
Well, it's all river bottoms, okay. Saline River bottoms specifically, and it's just low, man. It's just you know, it's just like for
it's
example,
like Kansas,
my
when there's a hill, it's like oh wow, that's a high spot.
Yeah, yeah. What's weird is, I mean, you drive. I mean, you drive 20 minutes either way, and it's not like that.
Right.
It's just, unless you go south.
Arkansas has a pretty diverse.
It does, yeah.
Absolutely.
No, we're talking to the guy that knows right now.
I just got through kind of working on a script for a video we're producing. Next October, Arkansas will host because of CEFWA, the Southeast Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. They're in Nashville this October, and so we got to put together a video. Come to Arkansas. It's really easy to talk about how cool Arkansas is. Like, you leave from Little Rock, you can get four different topographies in four different directions. You know?
That's
so
right.
That's what's really cool. It's one of the things that I love most about this state, and why I'm so happy that I, you know, grew up here and lived my entire life here.
Yeah, it's like my where I hunt. I hunt about an hour and 40 minutes or so from Poen, and I mean it's basically mountains. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I mean that's,
absolutely. During deer season, I'll do that.
One thing Arkansas has going for it that a lot of places don't, especially out west. As the drought worsens and water conditions, you know, the Ogallala Aquifer dries up. Arkansas's got water. There's a lot of water here, a lot of good rivers here. So that's going to mean something going forward when everybody is struggling to find a drink.
No doubt.
We have a caller on, Johnny. He wants to ask Justin about what bass boats. Oh, he's not there anymore. But this caller asked, what bass boat do you run? Justin,
For the time being, I don't have one. The first time in, 15, 20 years. But
I don't have a boat. I got a kayak right now. Okay. I've had boats
in
the past.
You got friends that have boats.
He knows people with boats.
Christian, you just hit on something
that's the
very
best part.
Important. It is better to have a good friend
like a
with
pool.
The boat.
That's exactly right.
Boat. Because boat is it's not an acronym, but it stands for break out another thousand.
Yes.
Yeah, but boat. Yeah, exactly.
It's like a pool. It's better to know somebody with a pool
that's
than to
right.
own a
yeah.
pool.
Yeah, and a truck.
What kind did you have, Justin?
So the first boat I bought years and years ago was a Javelin. And then since then I've had all Rangers. I always ran the, cause I didn't fish tournaments. So I always ran the 522, Z522 Ranger.
Nice.
It's the bigger one.
Yep.
So, you know, with kids on it and stuff, it was pretty handy. Like all the extra, I think the deck space and the smaller ones are the same, but the back deck space was just ridiculous as far as, you know, having kids on there and stuff. So.
We'll come back.
I'll nerd out on that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I'll nerd out with
but,
you.
But I've had three Rangers, and I would probably go back to a Ranger when I get another one.
Well, I'll send you to break with one Bobby Womack. He has a great backstory that would make a great movie if anybody was interested. But you should.
Hey, Christian, you were talking about Life 360 during deer season where I hunt, right?
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Yeah, I'll do it. It's totally different than Moore Mountain. I'll say that.
Hey, y'all. Roger Scott here, and I don't have to tell you it's hot outside. You can figure that up all by yourself when you touch your steering wheel 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That thing's going to brand you like a head of cattle. So you want to beat the heat? Make Family Market Stores your fill-up stop. Whether you're pulling into one of their convenience stores or grocery store locations, you're walking into cool air, great deals, and big-time savings. Grab yourself a large fountain drink, sweet tea, or lemonade, and boom, 5 cents off per gallon at the pump. Morning's more your speed. A large cup of community coffee gets you another 5 cents per gallon, and that's before your first sip. And don't forget that Family Market Rewards card. Use it inside the store to save even more on snacks, drinks, and whatever you need, and stack those savings when you gas up outside. And you'll find these deals in Pangburn, Malvern, Shannon Hills, Wooster, Mayflower, and now two stores in Hot Springs on Albright Road and the newest location on Albert Pike. If there's not a Family Market store in your neck of the woods just yet, hold tight. One's coming. Family Market Stores, cooling you down and filling you up.
The Saracen Casino Hotel is now open and accepting reservations. Saracen's new 14-story hotel features 318 modern guest rooms and suites, offering luxe accommodations paired with the elevated amenities and the southern hospitality customers have come to expect from Saracen Casino Resort. And while you're at it, don't skip dinner at Red Oak, recognized as Arkansas's best restaurant for 5 years running. Book your stay with Saracen by visiting saracenresort.com or calling Saracen today.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET.
Hey, your roof called. It's tired of leaking, missing shingles, and judging you silently. Call Oltman's Roofing, Central Arkansas Roof Superheroes. We do inspections, repairs, full replacements, and yes, we'll wrestle your insurance companies. Free estimates, top quality materials, 5-year labor warranty. Basically, your roof gets a spa day. You get bragging rights. Don't wait. Call Oltman's Roofing, 501-687-7663, or visit oltmansroofing.com. Oltman's Roofing, we've got you covered.
Hello, folks. It's Frank Fletcher from the Fletcher Dodge Chrysler Jeep store right here in Sherwood. You know, everybody's talking about what can I afford. So, we are working very hard to get those payments lower than ever. Folks, our factory has given us the largest incentives ever. We're selling Dodge Ram trucks for discounts we have never offered before. Come in and let us lower your payment on your new vehicle. Did you know that the new Dodge Ram truck has a 100,000-mile or 10-year warranty? That's a great warranty. Folks, also, I want to offer a free warranty on all used car retail sales. Remember, others don't show you the price on the windshield. Everyone gets my best price with no hassle. As we say on TV or radio, our best prices are posted online and on the windshield. Come see us at Fletcher Dodge here in Sherwood on Warden Road. We welcome your business. Thank you.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use law enforcement siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you if you get a speeding ticket, it doesn't end there. You have to pay expensive fines. You can't go to your friend's wedding because that also costs money. And your insurance rates could increase. See? We didn't have to use law enforcement sirens after all. Getting a speeding ticket has consequences. Sooner or later, speeding catches up with you.
Brought to you by the Arkansas State Police Highway Safety Office.
Everybody knows the Brad Hendricks Law Firm is famous for car wrecks, big truck crashes, and medical negligence cases. But they do a lot more than that. They help good people who can benefit from bankruptcy. And they also help older folks who had their Social Security claims denied. When you need a lawyer, call the firm that is pure Arkansas, where you won't ever be just a number. The Brad Hendricks Law Firm. Tradition, reputation, results.
Razorback basketball heading to the Bahamas for the Baja Mar Summer League game starting Friday. This is Trey Schaap. Join me as I call in live from the Baja Mar Resort in Nassau. I will join each show on the Buzz daily with special bonus content on the Buzz social media platforms. Coverage of the Hogs in the Bahamas presented by Bet Saracen, UAMS Health, GenWealth Financial Advisors, and the University of Arkansas System.
This is Michael Marion with the Simmons Bank Arena.
And Jana DeGeorge with Simmons Bank Arena.
Nobody knows music like
the boys from Morning Mayhem.
We're talking about the Odyssey in the break.
Salisbury Hill. What a song.
Yes. I played some Genesis earlier.
Good job.
I played The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, which was not in the system either. Genesis with Gabriel was better than Genesis with Collins, right?
It was.
Although when Collins became the lead singer, they got bigger. More of a pop band.
They sold more records. Yeah. They did. And I'll say a cool thing about Collins. There's a wonderful documentary about Earth, Wind, and Fire out by Questlove.
I need
right
to watch
now.
That.
It's yeah. I've seen it, I think, a dozen times. But Collins did something really cool. When Earth, Wind, and Fire kind of disbanded, Maurice White wanted to go his own direction mm-hmm. and do whatever he was doing. Collins, the first thing he did, he went and hired Philip Bailey that Easy sang runner. On all the yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire records, and he got the Phoenix horns that play on most of those, and he used them in, you know, Studio and Easy Lover and all. I mean, he put a lot of money into their pocket, so, you know. You can say what you want about Collins. I know the critics don't love him.
Yeah.
I like him. I think a lot of his stuff is good. And
did you know that Phil Collins is the single largest private holder of Alamo memorabilia in the world?
I saw that the other day. Yeah, he's fascinated.
I don't know. I went to the Alamo a couple years ago. I was down there to go listen to some music, actually. And I was there ahead of my friends and just to kill time. I'd never been. And he narrates this whole... in the museum that's attached. Of course, they're doing a whole bunch of work there. But yeah, he donated an extensive part of his collection to the Alamo Museum.
Very cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Remember,
I don't know why he's so interested in the Alamo.
But. Remember, the Alamo is one of the great pieces of American propaganda.
Oh, ever, no question.
Because
no question.
They turned what was a very dumb military decision into a rallying cry.
Yeah. And they got enough people to go and smack Santa Anna upside the head and found the Republic of Texas.
They knew that they were going to lose that battle, and it actually mm-hmm. had no strategical advantage to losing it, but they did it anyway. Another history lesson on Morning Mayhem.
I fear you get the three of us here in studio.
You know, you talk about a place where there doesn't need to be a town. We were just talking about the importance of rivers, and Arkansas is basically built on the back of great rivers.
Right.
There's no reason for San Antonio to exist where it exists.
Yeah.
I know technically there's the Trinity River. It's like one of those Oklahoma rivers. They have a river that they have no water in it.
Right.
But San Antonio and Dallas, I've wondered, why are these giant towns here? But, you know, they are. So. Yeah.
A bunch of the oil.
Yeah. Right? Cotton back in the day and oil. And
I watched another documentary. We only got a few minutes left, but they were talking about, well, I mean, if you go throughout America, all the big towns are basically, they're beside a body of water because all the trading would be done through waterways.
Bingo.
When trading moved away from the waterways, those towns have started to die out. So we see all the towns along the Mississippi River, St. Louis, Memphis, all the big towns are
Greenville,
seeing great decline in population and all kinds of stuff. Because
Greenville, Mississippi was a pretty important place, and it not so much anymore, but it was
Natchez.
Natchez, that's right.
We got a question for Trey on our text line. Ask Trey if he knows about the little yellow boat that has been automatically driving around Lake Hamilton for the last week. It looks like it's scanning the bottom or something. You heard anything about this?
No, I am.
Like a drone or something?
Not aware
drone
of that.
Drone boat.
Drone.
Yeah, it could be what they call doing some bathymetry, which is.
Whoa, what?
Come on.
The depth of the water, right?
Exactly.
The depth of the water.
And the contours of
they're
of
marking
the lake.
Twain, essentially. Yeah.
Thank you, Samuel Clemens. Very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like now, the bathysphere?
I don't know for sure, but I would assume if it looks like it's doing.
If it's drones, it might be Iran. I'm just telling you, Trey, keep your head on a swivel.
Lake Hamilton is a great strategic thing.
That's right. The Chinese are taking over Lake Hamilton, I hear. Randy Allison, you watch out, boy.
All right. Come back for hour four of Morning Mayhem. History is in session.
Days are getting long. Waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready.
And it don't matter. Hello, this is Justin Akre. When joint pain or an injury slows you down, turn to UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Arkansas's largest orthopedic team and the state's most fellowship-trained surgeons offer expert care for sports injuries.